Good evening. It's just good for us to be together tonight. A little bit rainy today, but it's drying here. And it's good for us to, on this first day of the week, to have the opportunity to be together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Most of us here this evening are Christians. Most of us know what one must do to be saved. Most of us know what's supposed to happen or how the worship is supposed to be conducted on the first day of the week. And what I want us to talk about this evening is this idea of walking in newness of life, which is what we had in the scripture reading this evening. And I wrote it down up here on the board. I don't know if you can read it or not. We too might walk in newness of life. And I want us to focus on a couple of areas We walk in newness of life and need to look at all three of these things this evening. When he talks about we in Romans, if you go back to Romans chapter 6, let me start back in verse 3. He said, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." When he talks about we here, he's talking about himself and those that have in the church at Rome who've been baptized. So you can't just wake up in the morning and say, "I'm going to walk in newness of life today." And if you're not baptized, there is no walking in newness of life. It may change some things that you're doing, but what he's talking about here is a different thing. And so that's one thing that we need to really remember this. When he says we, he's not talking about everybody. He's talking about those that are in the church. And that, so let's think about that. And so when we think about we, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 3. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Also, if you look in verse 5. Jesus answers, says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So again, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? Being born of the water and the Spirit. Okay? So, if you look in verses 14 through 17. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in Him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." To be included in the we must be born again. And as you think about this, when the only way that we can walk in newness of life is if we're a new person. I mean, that's it. And what does that mean? That means somebody that's born again into Christ. That's all. Because until you're a Christian, you're the old person that we talk about, and we're going to talk about in a few minutes, that has to crucify himself to be a new person in Christ. And that's what he's talking about right here, is that one has to be born again, and then he finishes that up in verses 14 through 17 that we just talked about, talking about the Son of Man must be lifted up so that whoever believes will in Him have eternal life. That's the person who's been born again, the person who believes. And now, he also mentions here that you're born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be born of the Spirit? If you look in John chapter 6, in verse 63, I mean, does it mean that the Spirit is going to supernaturally come down on you tonight, and then you're going to be born again because that happens? In verse 63, he says this, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and are life." The way that you're going to get the Holy Spirit is by listening to the words that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The words that were spoken by Christ. He says, "My words are Spirit." The person is able to listen to those words and believe in those words and obey those words, that is the person who is going to be born again and be able to walk in newness of life. If you look in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, again, he says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." And we just got through pointing out that the word of Christ is Spirit. So, we gain faith by hearing the spiritual word of Christ. That's how we gain the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2. So, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Or hearing with faith? How do people receive the Spirit? By hearing the gospel taught to them and believing what they hear. That's how one is born again. That's how one is in a position to walk in newness of life, is after they've heard the gospel. James chapter 1. Verse 18. "In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures." He's saying here, he says, in the exercise of His will, He brought us forth, or in other words, He begat us. We were born. He brought us into this world by the word of truth. So, we were born again when we heard the truth spoke to us, and we believed it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." Now there's people out there that say, you know, the Spirit told me to do this and the Spirit told me to do that. What they're talking about is not found in the Word of God. The Spirit didn't tell them to do anything. He's telling us here, he says, the Spirit is the Word that Christ preached. And what he tells us here is the Word that God preached performs its work in you who believe. In other words, the Spirit does work on us. And it does cause us to do certain things. But that is the word that's been revealed to us in the Bible. Those who believe it, those who obey it, the Spirit works on you. And that's how it works. Through God's Word. So as we think about that, let's think about the idea of walking. And to walk is used figuratively throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. And it signifies, basically, as Vine says, it signifies the whole round of the activities of the individual life. In other words, it's what you do every day. It's how you live your life. There's nothing more than that. So, what does it mean to walk in newness of life? Now, let's go back to the Old Testament. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 33, God told them then, He says, "You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess." So what is He telling us here? He's telling the Jews here that they needed to live by the commandments they were given. In other words, they had to obey what they were told to do. And if they did that consistently each day, they would be blessed. If they consistently did not do that, they would be cursed. We look in Psalms chapter 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So, on the flip side of that, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of God. Who lives, who takes his advice from God. If we're not careful, we take advice from everybody except God. We want to hear what everybody else has to think about something instead of going to what God tells us. Tells us basically every major way how we're supposed to live our lives. What is right? What is wrong? This is how you should handle these problems, etc. The person that is able to do that is going to be blessed, and the one who takes their counsel from mankind is not going to be. But if we think about this in another way as well, if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. So, when we think about the commandments of God, I mean, think about it in this way. This is the commandments of God. Represent God's nature. The commandments of God represent God's nature. In other words, He's asking us to be like Him. He's not saying, yeah, you do this, 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 and this, and I'll go out here and I'll lie and I'll cheat and I'll steal and I'll do all this other stuff. God doesn't ask us to be different than Him. When He gives us these commandments, He wants us to become like Him. So when He says don't lie, what that means is God always tells the truth. And He wants us to tell the truth like He does. If He says be true to something, He's telling us I'm faithful always. In what I say and in the agreements that I make, I'm faithful. And that's what I want you to be. So He's asking us, and when we talk about His ways, His commandments lead us in a way that we can be more like God. That's the point. That's the point. Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Now, he talks about the ancient paths. These are the paths that God Himself made. And He's saying, I want you to walk as I walk. So, what we see in the Old Testament, in many ways, is not different than what He requires of us today. It's always been God's will that we become like Him. That we have fellowship with Him. And we cannot have fellowship with Him if we are not like Him. So, we look in Micah, and then we'll go to the New Testament. Chapter 6, and verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what it is to walk in newness of life. Is to walk in these ways. Now, what is it that Jesus did that changes this from the Old Testament to the New Testament? That's the other question we need to ask. And think about it in this way. Jesus has made it possible for us to do what is required of us. Before, we were always condemned in the sins that we've committed. We were condemned in those things. So, even if today I decide that I'm going to walk humbly with my God, if I didn't walk humbly with Him yesterday, I had that against me. And there was a price that had to be paid for that. And Jesus paid that price for us so that we could do what God would have us to do, what He's always wanted us to do. If you look in Romans chapter 3, verse 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He took care of our sins for us. He justified us so that we could walk in newness of life, so that we could be a new creation.
We can't kill the old man. If Jesus doesn't die for our sins, there is no killing the old man short of being dead and condemned. So when He says that we're supposed to mortify
the desires of the flesh, if there was no forgiveness of sins, there'd be no point in it, because it wouldn't matter. We still have those things on our account. If you look in chapter 4 and verse 25, He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. And then also turn with me to chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. That's why Jesus came, so that we could be justified, so that we wouldn't be in our sins. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, into which we stand and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We've been reconciled to God because of what Jesus did.
And those of us that are the we, believe that, we're baptized, repent of our sins and we're baptized, and then have been made a new person so we can get up and walk in newness of life, so we can do the things that Christ meant for mankind when He created them.
But it could never happen until there was something done about our sins. And Christ did that for us. So because of this, we've been baptized, we've been made a new person. And if you're a new person, you walk in newness of life. Free from fear, a full and glad heart, eager to please God in our life. And we know that to please God, we want to follow His commandments, because God's commandments represent His nature, so that we can be more like Him, be reconciled to Him, have fellowship with Him. That is the point of this. Let's look at a couple other verses. So we go back to the reading that we had a few minutes ago, chapter 6, 4 through 7. Again, just to remind us. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, we are also in baptism raised from the dead. The old person is supposed to be crucified with Him. The person that was slaves to the flesh should be gone. so that we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is free from sin. That's why Jesus came to this world, not only just to save us from our sins, but that we might be free from those sins, that we might walk in newness of life, that we might be a new person. Look in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So again, if we're going to walk in newness of life, we're going to be walking according to the Spirit, which we already established what Christ said was, my words are Spirit. So if we're going to walk according to the Spirit, we're going to walk according to the Word that we have in front of us tonight. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Six through nine. Sorry, chapter 6. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. So because we believe what Jesus because we believe that Jesus came into this world, we believe that He was crucified on account of our sins, we believe that our sins are forgiven as a result of that. Because of that, that is what is able to keep us going in this walk according to the Spirit. Because He says, always be of courage, knowing that we walk by faith. We walk believing in these things we talked about as far as Christ is concerned. And therefore, we have as our ambition, our desire should be to be pleasing to God. So, as we go about our daily activities, our desire should be, throughout the day, is I want to be pleasing to God because of what He's done for me. And that when we, if that's our desire, we're going to walk according to the Spirit. We're going to be obedient to what the Word of God says if our desire is to be pleasing to Him. If we don't live like that, then that's not our desire. We say whatever we want to, but the proof is in what we do each day. I mean, that's the idea, this walking in newness of life. I mean, we can talk all day long, but the proof is in what we're doing each day. Are we obedient to what God has told us in the New Testament? Do we live that way? Look at Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16. Because here he talks here and he's even more specific as to what it means. But I say walk by the Spirit. And again, what does walking by the Spirit mean? We know that Jesus' Word is Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, if we do what the Bible tells us to do, the things that are going to be produced by that are the fruits of the Spirit that we just read about in verse 22. So we should be able to see by what is occurring because of our walk by the Spirit, we should be able to see the products of these things. And if we're not seeing that in our life, then we're not walking by the Spirit. I mean, so it tells us here whether we're doing what we should be doing or not. Turn with me to Ephesians. We're just about complete with this. Starting verse 5. Now I'll begin in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. It says, therefore, be imitators of God. Again,
when we talk about following His commandments, we make ourselves imitators of God. Because that's His commandments are His nature.
And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Now, when he says walk by the light, we're walking again by the Word of God. And the Word of God exposes things as to whether they're right or wrong. Always. And that's why a number of people hated Christ when he was on this earth, because what he did exposed people for what they were. What he taught exposed people for what they were. Some people, his disciples, saw that it was the good thing and they came to him and believed him. And then there's a lot of people that hated him and didn't want to be exposed and wanted to kill him. And in the same way, that's how we're likely going to be treated as well. So in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you live. And he says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How are we going to understand it? By studying it. That's part of the reason that we're here. And lastly, let's turn look at Philippians chapter 3. I'll start in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And again, he just got through talking to them about this, that I forget about what happened yesterday and I think about pursuing the goal that's in front of me, which is heaven. So he says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal this also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk of whom I have often told you, and now to you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He is even to subject all things to Himself. Now, let us keep living or walking by that same standard to which we have attained. In other words, we can't quit. It's a sustained effort for the rest of the time that we're on this earth. And effort in doing what? In walking according to the pattern that we have in the New Testament. That we do what they did. If they were acceptable to God, if we do the same things that they were doing, we'll be acceptable to God as well. And then he says, for many live in such a way that they are enemies of the cross of Christ because they change what's been delivered to them. Or they turn their back on what's been delivered to them. Because they're more concerned about their own appetite and what they want. Now, God has made all things, has made it possible for every one of us to walk in newness of life because He came into this world, He died for the sins of the world, and He told everybody, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well, that those who believe that I was sent from God, that I'm His Son, that I died for the sins of the world, and that I rose again and I sit at the right hand of God, anybody that believes that and is willing to turn from their sins and to be baptized, to confess my name before others, and to walk in newness of life after baptism, those people will be my people. That's what He's told us. He's told us that we're going to become more like God if we do what we're supposed to do. And that we'll have fellowship with Him. And not only fellowship with Him in this age, but in the age to come. And that those that deny Him, whether just in what they say, but also people can say that they accept Him and then live not in newness of life, live the same old way, that person is going to be condemned as well. As a hypocrite, we talked about that briefly this morning. He's telling us that we can have fellowship with Him because of what His Son's done for us. So if there's any here this evening that's not been baptized, that are not part of the church, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that He died for your sins, if you believe that He rose from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father right now, if you believe those things and are willing to confess that before others, to turn from your sins and to be baptized, then you can walk in newness of life starting tonight. And if you don't do it, like Donnie said, it's not like we have a right to hear the gospel preached to us 1,000 times. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. So if you believe that, now is the time to act upon it. If there's any here that has a need, please feel free to come forward as we stand.